Times you may have already heard it here, but I'm not going to quit preaching it until the Lord says that's enough. But in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, we find Moses as he begins to review the things that God had done for his people, and then he begins to warn them about that which they're about to face, that which they're about to go into and through as his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Probably every one of us in this room, or about every one of us in this room, have just finished up what he was talking about just about an hour ago. We filled our bellies. But I wonder how many of us were able to sit there and enjoy all that good food. And then what we didn't want, we set aside and threw it away in the garbage can. And then failed to bless God for the good land in which he gave us. United States of America. There are not too many countries in this world today that can live like you and I live in America. To enjoy the things that we enjoy. And yet I'm afraid that we need to be warned, as Israel was warned in their day. Because you see, we enjoy all of God's blessings. And very seldom do we take the time to say, thank you, Lord. To really be appreciative of them. I mean, to realize where they come from and who it is that has bestowed them upon us. I want you to notice now, again, beginning in verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Verse 11 begins like this. Beware. You see, there's a warning that goes along with these blessings. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God. I want to preach this afternoon upon the subject of the dangers of forgetting God. The danger of forgetting God. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in perilous times because I'm afraid that we are living in a day when God's people, even the Lord's people, have forgotten the Lord their God. Amen. When you read the name Lord and each letter is capitalized, the Old Testament scriptures, that name simply means I am everything you need. And Moses reminds the people of God in his day, beware that you forget the one who is everything you need, and he is your God. We take our country for granted. We take our freedoms and liberties for granted today. We've come a long way as a nation. Could it be true that even God's people have forgotten where it all came from and why we've enjoyed it? But Moses warns them that there is a danger of forgetting God in all of those things, as the other brethren have already preached unto us. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. 2 points I want to make two thoughts I want to bring. And I want you to know that if I don't get this preached, and if it pleases God to just take me out of this life before I ever get it preached, I want you to know, I want you to pray for my family. And I want you to pray for my children. And I want you to remember to pray for your own family and your own children. And then I want you to remember to pray for all the families here and all the families that make up the family of God and their children. And that we wouldn't fail and you wouldn't fail to forget the Lord thy God. First of all, there is the great danger of forgetting the Lord thy God in the day of prosperity.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We're living in the days of prosperity. I mean, that's all they want to talk about. That's about all that everybody thinks about, even God's people. Down our way in Murray, Kentucky, nobody's looking for a small house to buy. They're building bigger ones because we're living in the days of prosperity. Brother Dean Smith and I were talking about how that you hear so many people say, oh, I'm afraid that my automobile's getting too many miles on it. Got 100,000 miles. I'm afraid it's getting too many. I'm afraid mine won't get enough. But you see, prosperity tells us we don't have to drive one very many miles because there's another one out there that somebody is willing to sell us. And so many willing buyers. To forget God in the day of prosperity is dangerous. Did you know that? Listen to what he says again. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, unless when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What's he talking about? He's talking about the danger of forgetting God in the days of prosperity. He's telling the people of God, things are going to get far better for you, but you have to be careful. You have to be beware. You have to beware. You have to be warned of the fact that prosperity can cause even God's people to forget the Lord their God. Is that not true today? Is that not true today? That even the Lord's churches and even God's people today have the idea that because we live in the days of prosperity, money is the thing. We can do anything. We can do everything because things are so prosperous in the United States of America. They tell us that our economy is better than it's ever been. It is, really, when you look at it. I mean, when you look at it from an economical, natural standpoint, the economy of America is far better than it's ever been. But look what it's done for us. Look what kind of a governmental system we have that gets the credit for it. In other words, it's just like Brother Asbury said, just like Brother Dan said, that what we have done, we have sold the blessings of God for a morsel of meat. The Lord told the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, he said, because of your sins, you have sold yourselves. He says you have sold yourself to sin, you see. Forgetting the Lord thy God will cause you to sell out to sin. And I'm afraid that's about what's happened in our country today. Are we as thankful as we ought to be for the great land which God has given us? We didn't deserve it. We never have merited it, nor have we earned it. God laid it on some hearts of godly men to come to this country and live and die that there might be a place where God is exalted. And that's the way it began as far as our country is concerned. And we find that God blessed those men, and He blessed our land, and He gave them the land, and He kept on giving it to them. And they kept on taking the gospel through the land everywhere they went. But today, it's not as it was in the days gone by. Do you really realize where all of those precious gifts that we enjoy as Americans, as we call ourselves today, come from? Do you really realize where they come from? Why is it that you and I can all drive automobiles? I mean, we've got more than one, most of us. Why is it that we live in better houses than we did when we were children? Why is it that we wear finer clothes than people have worn in the days gone by? Is it because that we have deserved it? Is it because we're better than anyone else? In spite of all of that, God has tremendously blessed us. Not only with material gifts, but with liberties and freedoms and all the good things that we have had. Listen in verses 17 and 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that gives thee power to get wealth." In chapter 9, verse 6, Moses said, "Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people." We don't have it because we're good folks. We have it because God has been merciful. God has been kind and God has been good to you and I for a purpose. We are a stiff-necked people. President Clinton gets all the glory for the economy being so well. One of the most popular presidents in our present time. And in a long time. But he gets the credit for it. But you know where that comes from? It's God that has given us what we have tonight. Or this afternoon. But I'm telling you right now, folks, all the good things you enjoy. You may have a bigger house than me. I may have a bigger house than you. You may have finer clothes. I may have fine clothes. But you know how long it would take for us to lose all of that? Quicker than that. When God gets ready to take it away from us. And you know what He says? You know what He says about this? He says, if you forget the Lord thy God, who gave it to you and where it came from, He said, I'll forget you and take it away from you. Listen in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 19. God says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify unto you this day, against you this day, that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." I can remember, just barely, but I can remember the end of World War II when I was a little boy. I can't even remember the sirens and the bells ringing, but I can remember just a little bit about it. But I can remember how the fathers and the husbands and the sons came home and people rejoiced. And I've heard some of the older folks older than me said, "Brother Hall, during World War II, it was declared that more people went to the house of God to pray than ever before in the history And God heard. And God blessed. And many of them came home victorious. And our country was blessed again. And little by little, things began to pick up once again. Began to be prosperous. And as prosperity began to rise, church attendance began to go down. Godliness began to be less practiced than ever before. Until the day in which we live, folks. And I'm telling you, there may be a lot of folks who go to church, but very few of them ever go to worship God. It's one thing to go to the house of God, and it's another to go to worship Him. There is very little worship of the Lord today in the land in which we live. They have so many other things that are far more important in their services than the worshiping of the Lord and glorifying Him. But you see, we could lose it at any time because of our sins. They tell me that the average lifetime of a nation to stand or fall is about 200 years. And we went beyond ours. We went beyond the average, folks, and God still puts up with us. But I don't believe that God's going to continue to put up with us as a nation. He never has in all the history of this world. He's always brought them down just like He said He would do. And He says, if you forget Me, I'll bring you down just like I have all of the others. Does that not put fear in your heart? Does that not cause you to fear God more now than you have in the past? Do you not see how dangerously close we are to the judgment of God? I mean, you think you've seen something? You know, they give all this credit to El Nino, which means the boy or the son. Well, they don't know it, but they are right. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, and He is in control. And we see a lot of catastrophes, and we see a lot of disasters in our country today. That's no accident, folks. That's the judgment of God as we see it coming down upon us. You haven't seen anything yet. I've maintained for quite a few years now that during the tribulation period, the Bible talks about one-third part of the earth being burned up. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, folks, that during that tribulation period, that America will be burned up. There's enough power. Our enemy has enough nuclear power all around us, surrounding us, to wipe us out anytime God lets them do it. I believe our country is in for a terrible judgment day. And I don't believe it's very far away. I don't believe it's far away. You can say what you want to about the coming of the Lord, but I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Him to come. I believe He's coming, and I can't say He's coming soon. I'm looking for Him now. That's why I told you that if I don't get through with this, I want you to know what I want you to do. If I'm not here to tell you later on. Because I believe that. I believe the Lord could come either way. He could come for me. He could come for you. He could come for all of us.
Amen, Brother Holman. Amen.
But until He does, we need to continue on.
Amen.
Our nation is in a terrible condition. Morally.
Amen.
I'm talking about when a nation, 47% of all the marriage ceremonies that are performed today, at least one of the marrying couples already been married before. I'm talking about all the same-sex marriages in America that are performed. I'm talking about when a woman and a woman or a man and a man can go before the court and say, we want to adopt this child that we can give it a home. I'm talking about when the criminals have more rights than their victims. When the victim has to prove that they've been hurt, while all the while the state is for the criminal, afraid we might hurt them. might take away or steal away their rights. We've got things all backwards, folks. The prosperity that we live in, the good life that we live, ought to cause us to look up and give praise and glory and honor to God. But instead, you see, prosperity many times turns people's minds and their hearts away from God rather than toward God. Think about it. How much do you depend upon what wealth you have this afternoon to keep you? How much do you depend upon your possessions? And how much would you be, how many of them or how much of it would you be willing to give away or to give up? If you could just see the power of God and the glory of God come down in our churches and in our services and in our lives and our families one more time. We built that building there in Murray, and it's not elaborate, but I'm so thankful for it. But every time I go in it, and I look around, it's been a long time since I've had a what you might call a real church building, you know. What folks call a real church building. Everywhere I go, I don't mind going in it and using it. But every time I go in it, I say, thank you, Lord. But I'd be willing to give it back. If I could just see the souls of people saved. And if I could just see those who are saved. Humble themselves before you and join this work and organize a church and go out into this county and glorify your name. If I could just see your power manifested in our midst. I'd be willing to give it up, folks. I know how to live without it. I don't mind having it if God wants me to have it, but I want the rest of it. I want the blessings and the power of God in our midst. I want to see people's lives touched and influenced by the power of God through the preaching and the teaching of God's Word until Jesus comes again. But we need to be careful, because you see, in the days of prosperity is when you're just liable to forget the Lord thy God to give them to you. We spend a lot of money, don't we? And we don't mind wasting it, throwing it away. I mean, that's what we do, just like our food that we eat. We eat part of it and throw the rest of it away. And there are other people in the world that would fight for what you throw on the ground. I've seen them in Honduras, and Brother Tweet can tell you about it. How that they scavenge for something to eat. They go from place to place trying to find it. I can remember one fellow, and he was still there when we went back the last time. But every time I seen him, he was almost naked. And he had on a pair of pants and no shirt, no shoes. But he only had one leg of the pants left. The rest of them were gone. You don't know what that's like, do you? You've never had to live like that. And yet we don't even know how to be thankful for how well we have it today. We don't even stop to think that after we've eaten and are full, we pray before we eat that God will bless it, but we fail to thank Him for it after we've eaten and are full. That the people of America have been blessed. And there's nothing wrong with prosperity, folks. The only thing wrong with it is what we let it make us. And if we allow a prosperity to take us away from God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But it seems like the more we get, the more we want, isn't it? Seems like the more we get, the more we want. The more we spend, the more we want to spend. The more money we make, the more we want to make. Every time you get your paycheck, every time you get your paycheck and you look at it and you look at that figure, one of the first things that probably goes through your mind and heart, I wish that was more. Because our hearts and minds are set upon things and wealth, pleasures and sports, more than upon God. I may not appreciate it like I should, but I tell you what, I grew up in a family, and I grew up as a boy, and I never knew what it was to have much. And everything I get now, I appreciate it. And I want to hold on to it. And I want to use it for the glory of God. And I don't want to ever be guilty, and I have been before. I stand before you. There's been times when I have allowed things, when I have allowed people, when I have allowed myself to almost forget God. He'll destroy a life. He'll destroy a home. He'll destroy a church. It'll ruin a nation. And it's just about to take ours down. Say what you want to. It's just about to take ours down. Because in the days of prosperity, you need to beware that you forget not the Lord thy God. Don't forget the one who gave it to you. Don't forget why he gave it to you. Not to hoard it up, not to spend it selfishly or unwisely, but to use it for his glory and for his honor. I love to share. I love to share because God has given me a heart that cares. But we better be careful because there's the danger of forgetting God in the day of prosperity. Secondly, even more important, I believe, there is a danger of forgetting God in the family circle. In our families, there's a very great danger of forgetting God as a family. Allowing everything, allowing just about anything to come between you and your God. To cause you not to have time to talk about Him as a family. To cause you not to have time to serve Him together as a family. There is certainly a great danger today for God's people, and even for all of America, that we forget God in the family circle as a family. How long has it been since you had family prayer? How long has it been since you talked to your family about the Lord or talked together? How long has it been since you got your children together and prayed? We always pray every night. We talk about the Lord. We go everywhere together. We do everything together. We worked on the building. My wife and my son was there almost as much as I was. When I go out to preach, they're always with me. Wherever we go, we're usually always together. We're a family. And the family ought to be together. But you see, we live in a day when families are going different directions. And I want to share with you a scripture that God gave to me, and it's not mine, it's His, and it's always been in the book. But in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, in the book of Hosea, you can find the book of Daniel. You'll just keep turning, you'll find the book of Hosea. But in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, we find God in Hosea's day speaking to His people. Speaking unto them about the same situation. Forgetting the Lord thy God. You see, you forget the Lord thy God, not so much that you forget His name. You forget His laws. You forget His commandments. And you don't have time to meditate upon them nor keep them. You don't follow after him like you ought to. But in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, I want you to listen to what Hosea said to them in his day. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Let me stop there for just a moment, and I know we haven't got to the worst of it yet. But God said, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, Paul says, For the time will come, and in my Bible I've had it marked for quite a while, the time is here, that they, God's people, will not endure sound doctrine. But they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall be filled with fables. Be filled with that which is not true. That which is entertaining, that which appeals and pleases the flesh. It's already here. And that's what God is speaking to the children of Israel about in their day. That the knowledge was there, but you rejected it. You turned away from it. You wouldn't hear it. You refused it. But because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me. But now listen in verse 6. Seeing, this isn't something that God's guessing about. It's not something that he's surmising. He's not presuming this, but he says it's very evident. You can see it. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. We better think about that for a few moments. We better meditate upon that for just a few moments. Because you talk about a warning. God said, seeing that you have forgotten the law of the Lord thy God. You've forgotten what I taught you. You've forgotten what I told you. You've forgotten all that I've done for you. Seeing that you have forgotten me, I will also forget thy children. Think about that. And then look, I can't help, listen, I started preaching this long before these things began to happen. But now in the last couple of years, look who it is. Look who it is that's on every television channel and network all over the world. It is our children. And our grandchildren. It's not mom, it's not dad. Not grandmother and grandfather. But it's a 15-year-old boy. They can pack up a sack of rifles and ammunition and march into the school and kill his own schoolmates while their heads are bowed in prayer. God said, you forget me, I'll forget your children. Jonesboro, Arkansas. 13-year-old and 11-year-old put on their camouflage suits, armed themselves, have a getaway van. One of them goes over into the school, pulls the fire alarm, and all the children file out, thinking it's a fire drill. And they stand back in the woods and shoot them down. As Brother Ginn said, the newscaster said that 4 little girls died and 1 adult. But there were 5 children that got killed that day because that mother was carrying a child within her womb when she was killed. It's not the 31s. It's not the 61s. Not even the 20s. It's the children. It could have been your grandchildren or your children, just as well as it was anybody else's. It could have been mine just as well as anybody else's, folks. But when I began to see these things happen, God began to say, didn't I tell you? Haven't I said? Haven't you learned anything? That if you forget God, I'll forget your children. And every one of those children that are in jail or in the detention center right now are either members of a family that is churched, or they're members of a church themselves. This last week before last, one of them was 11 years old. The other one, I think, was 8 years old. And the youngest was 7 years old. And they took a 3-year-old girl out of her own backyard, if I'm not mistaken. Took a brick, smashed it into her head. Left her for dead in a ditch. Someone found her, and she lives, thank God. 11, 8, and 7 years old in a cell or in a room somewhere. Jailed. Put away because of such heinous crimes. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? Have you ever seen anything like that before in all of your life? Have you ever heard of any other country having that kind of experience? No other country has been blessed like yours. Nobody has ever been blessed and taken care of like America. And nobody has been given the gospel of God and the word of God and churches like America. Where God raised up churches and men to spread the gospel all over the world. And what country is it today? And who is it that's suffering the consequences of sin like never before? Like America. It certainly could have been any one of our children. Every morning when I get up, I go to get my Bible to let God speak to me. Yeah. And when I get my Bible, on the way to where I'm going to read, I always pass by Derek's bedroom. And I look in there to see if he's still there. Just to see if he's still there. Just to see if he's still alive. Because you see, there are some moms and dads that have awakened in the mornings and their children were gone. Yeah. And their children were dead. And every morning I wake up and see him. I know that God has blessed us one more night. While we're fast asleep and don't know what's going on, God took care of him. Our children need us today. They need grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as we've never called upon Him before. They need us to get on our knees and bow our heads to the ground and cry out to the mighty God, Lord, don't forget us! Don't let us forget you! And certainly, don't forget our children! Moms and dads cannot afford to turn their backs upon God. Not now, folks. It's the wrong time. Don't turn away from God now. Don't do it. We only have a little while left. There's nothing more important in this world today than the Lord your God, your church, and your family. And God said, you forget me, I'll forget your children. Man, listen, that's real. That's true. And I believe God means it today just like he did in that day. And I believe he's changed his mind about a thing. We certainly have been blessed. But we'd better wake up. Where are our children today? Where are they today? Where are your children today? Where are your children today? And I'm not talking about are they at work or at school. I'm not talking about are they home or are they here this morning or this afternoon. I'm saying where are they in life? Where are they in the family circle? Do they have a place to fit in? Are they there? Are they a part? Are they real? Are you concerned about them? Do you pray about them? Do you try to lead them and guide them and teach them? Do you endeavor to bring them to Jesus? Whenever I see those children, and see those moms and dads that don't have time to consider God, oh God, don't forget the children. Don't forget them. You think about it. You think about the generations. We probably have at least, well, we could probably muster up four generations if we looked hard enough in our congregation or you know somebody. Four generations. But did you know that God told them when he gave them the Ten Commandments, he said, I'm a jealous God. And he said, I'll visit your sins all the way down to the fourth generation. Fourth generation. You start counting them up, folks. You start right now and count backwards to World War II and see what kind of a generation you got. See the numbers. And then see what's happening. See what's happening and where we are. But where is your children? Where is your son, your daughter in life right now? What kind of a code, family code do we have? What kind of a, you know, you can't even talk about a dress code. It's usually an undress code in most Baptist families today. We've got them down our way. Folks would rather go naked than wear their clothes. And they teach your children to do the same things. And there's nothing, listen, there's nothing to going to the house of God and seeing, hearing God's children stand over in a corner and say, hey, did you go see that movie? Did you see that? Man, that was great. Didn't even come to services that week. But to go to the movie house and watch a movie last 3 hours or four, teach their children to do the same thing. Because so many have forgotten God, the law of God. In Psalm 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I tell you what, the answer I always get up, I come up with that. If the foundations, I'm talking about the foundations of God's teachings and God's word and God's goodness and godliness, if those foundations be destroyed in a government or in a home or in an individual life, what shall the righteous do, folks? Well, when I read about Daniel and all of the prophets of God, they suffered just like the rest of them. Daniel went into captivity just like the rest of them. But you think about our children. You think about those that we ought to be concerned about, our families, our nation today. How that we ought to join together. I'm honest about this. I'm serious. I have two children. I have a boy and I have a girl that's outside the will of God. And I pray that God would never forget them. And I'm asking you to pray for them today. And the rest of my children and my grandchildren and my family. I want to pray for yours. And we ought today, even today, folks, listen, ask me, I'll pray for yours. I desire your prayers for mine and those around us. We ought to join together in prayer with them and for them. We ought to be concerned not only about our own welfare, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. We ought to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of our families, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives and children. We only have a little while left, but don't let the devil get your family. Don't let the devil get your children, because he will. And when he does it, you won't even know until it's over with. They're more important than sports. They're more important than jobs. Amen. We live in a time when mom and dad think they have to both work, and as soon as their children start growing up, they want them to work and make money. Money, money, money. Amen. Prosperity, you see. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is to be rich in the Lord. To be rich in God. Are you concerned? Are you concerned about your country? I'm concerned about our president, folks. I'm concerned about our government. I'm concerned about our communities. I'm concerned about my family. And I'm concerned about my own life, because I know how important it is that we forget not God. Amen. And it's easy to do, you know it. It's easy to do. So may God help us. If God helps us. I mean, every one of us ought to be able to bow our heads before God and cry out to Him this afternoon. Lord, we don't want You to forget us. We don't want You to forget our children, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. But God, most of all, don't let us forget You. If you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ as your Savior, He came to save sinners just like you. Now, I can say that with all honesty,